The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, I hope you've been enjoying Milo Yiannopoulos. We're going to get him back in the studio next week. At least that's what he said. Yeah. And also, Milo, I'm trying to work it out. This weekend, this Sunday, is Greek Easter. It's Eastern Orthodox Easter. And I was trying to get Milo to come to celebrate with my family because, of course, he is Greek. I don't know if that's going to work out. It's kind of too far. I have a weird weekend coming up because tomorrow, actually, this is a big announcement. Tomorrow night, so this is Saturday night, or actually evening, I'm interviewing Jonathan Cahn, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He wrote The Harbinger, and I can't remember the titles of his other books, but you know who Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is. Yeah. He's prophetic. And he is, I'm interviewing him tomorrow night. You can watch this live. And I would, if I weren't doing it, I would be watching it because I want to know what he's going to say about where we are in the country. Is Biden going to stay in office? Is Trump going to get back into office? This is, it's fascinating because Rabbi Cahn has a lot of, he's got insights unlike any I've ever heard, frankly. I've never, ever heard anyone with the insights from scripture. So yeah. If you know that is Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, what's that?
I was just going to say, I heard that he's going to have his bags packed when he does the interview with you.
Yeah, so he said the rapture is happening pretty much as when I'm doing my book signing, like right after the event. So his bags are packed. That's what he said. That's just a teaser.
Yeah. Actually, get a copy of Eric's book to take with you on the rapture. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to wait around for a while and stuff because it's going to be tough to process all the people coming in at once because of the rapture. Okay, Dayspring Christian Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That is where I'm doing the event tomorrow, Saturday. Is tomorrow May 1st or April? Yeah.
April. It is. May 1st.
So tomorrow night, Saturday, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Dayspring Christian Academy. You can sign up online. You can watch it online or you can go there. Actually, I don't know. It might be sold out, but Dayspring Christian Academy, Jonathan Cahn, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, being interviewed by Eric Metaxas. Oh, it's going to be interesting. I promise you. And speaking of bags are packed, my bags are packed because I'm in Cookeville, Tennessee. Have you been to Cookeville, Tennessee? Not many people have. It's a little bit out of the way, but I'm here. Oh, what a wonderful time. I tell you, I've met people here. I hope I get invited back to speak at a church or something like that. Sometimes you get someplace and you just think it's Peachtree Learning Center. A lovely woman, Tabitha Merritt, invited me, and Life Church opened up last night, and I spoke there. But it's just been absolutely delightful to be here. And I don't know if this is going to be posted online or not, but I just wanted to say that, TBN tonight,
yes,
6 p.m. tonight and Sunday, whenever we're on TBN, Ken Fish is going to be on.
Ken Fish, first time on TBN with you. That's great.
That's true. Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't think it'll be his last. He's amazing. We should mention a few other things before we forget. Coming up on this program, folks, Bill O'Reilly.
Yes.
Greg Laurie. My friend Greg Laurie has written three books about iconic figures. One about Johnny Cash, who was an amazing Christian. One about Steve McQueen, who became an amazing Christian. A lot of people don't know that. And the new one is about Billy Graham, who was some kind of a Christian. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Greg Laurie is going to be talking about his book about Billy Graham. We have him coming up. We have Oz Guinness coming up. He has a new book about how the Hebrew covenant in the Old Testament is really where we got our American Constitution. It's so fascinating. We need to know this kind of stuff. We have Curtis Sliwa coming back. He's running for the mayor of New York. And if he doesn't win, I'm moving to Greece because it's bad. But seriously, yeah. If he does win, it's going to be amazing. Chris, you know this. It's going to be amazing. You guys both know this. Curtis Sliwa is, I think he would be as good as
he is. And he's the original guardian angel. I think when he was in his heyday, there was a lot of, street crime and stuff like that. And now that it's back, courtesy of de Blasio, we need Sliwa to crack some skulls, as they say, on the streets.
He came into the foreground after the Bernie Goetz problem in 1979, believe it or not. Goetz, do you remember that one?
That was not 79. That was in the 80s. Come on.
No, it was 1979 because that was my first year in New York City, and I actually looked like Bernie Goetz, and I tried to play him in the TV movie.
You're serious?
It was 79.
Up while I'm talking, because I don't think it was 79.
No, it was 1979 because that's the first
I believe Albin. Albin, did you get into character?
What? You're going to make me look it up while we're on the air? I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Because
Saturday Night Special.
It happened in like December of 79 because I had left town about the time the stabbing happened and I was in Pittsburgh.
Hey, as usual, I win. It was 1984. You lose.
Night Special.
Guys.
Right.
I'm telling you, the Guardian Angel started in the late 70s. Bernie Goetz was 1984. I'm good on dates. Oh, don't challenge me. I'm not as good as John Smirek, but John Smirek's not here. So in this group, I win. Seriously,
Albin, that begs the question, what role were you auditioning for in 1979?
I'm Jonathan Kahn. I had this premonition, I guess, of what was going to happen.
Yeah. But I love how you insisted that it was 1979. And I just looked
weird.
It up literally while we're on the air, and it's 1984. But I know dates. I know. And I always, I know it was 1984 because a friend of mine and I, we were thinking of writing a song about Bernie Goetz.
Really?
And suddenly it's 1984, a million years ago. Okay.
Wow.
So we should mention, so we got Curtis Sliwa coming up on the program. This is all next week or maybe the week after. Jack Phillips of
Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Masterpiece.
Yeah. Cake I remembered that. Yeah.
In Colorado. That was in 1979, right?
He was making cupcakes back
anyway,
then.
He's been a hero for religious liberty in America because he has really stood up to the thugs, to the anti-American religious liberty enemies. Yeah. And he's been a hero. He's going to be on the program. We are going to try to get Lou Dobbs back next week.
Trying for that too. Yep.
Okay. And tell us about Vera Sharov.
Now she's a Holocaust survivor. She's in her 90s. She's going to be in the TBN studios with you, Eric, and with me. And she's going to talk about what's going on in America and what was going on in the 1930s in Germany. Any similarities?
That's amazing. Now, by the way, we have more Milo Yiannopoulos coming up after this segment, but we want to kind of update you on where we are. We've got so many exciting guests coming up. I know there's some that I'm not thinking of that we're going to have. We have not mentioned the newsletter. I'm in Cookeville, Tennessee. And I say to people say like, oh, I watch your program every day, something like amazing like that. But then I say, are you signed up for the newsletter? No. The reason I'm really pushing this hard right now is because we've been knocked off of YouTube because we're obviously enemies of the state. And when you're knocked off of YouTube and you can't post stuff on YouTube, we post our stuff on Rumble. Or if anything's incendiary, like we say, some crazy truth claim, a conspiracy theory like 1 + 1 = 2. I drank the Kool-Aid. I believe 1 + 1 = 2. So you say that and YouTube says, well, no. Our fact checkers say we're not sure about that. Yeah. So we're going to ban you. So until you say, I love Big Brother or Caitlyn Jenner. I refuse to say it. I say Bruce Jenner. So you got to go and sign up for the newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter so we can send the videos to you because you're not going to go looking for Rumble. Maybe you're already on Rumble, but believe me, we send you everything. We tee it up so you just click and it's all there with descriptions. It's beautiful.
And just real quick, I just remembered Senator Josh Hawley is also going to be on next week. Senator Josh Hawley. Remember that?
Senator Josh Hawley. And you almost forgot, Albin.
I almost forgot. I'm looking at the schedule.
Gosh.
Too many good people.
A U.S. senator?
Yep. Yeah, troublemaker.
That's exciting. Yeah, there's a few heroes left, folks. Mm-hmm. We need to get behind them. and the skunks need to be thrown out of office. I would never mention Mitch McConnell by name. I'm not that kind of a person, but I'm just saying the skunks, whoever they are, whether it's Mitch McConnell or not, I'm not going to say they need to be thrown out of office. All right. We're going to be back with more Milo. Thanks for tuning in. Get back homeward. Once there was a way. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I will be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. We couldn't get the real thing, but I'm close enough. No, who's going to notice, right? My guest playing himself is Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, we've been talking about some really important things. I think a lot of people will be triggered by what we've been talking about, and that is our goal on this program.
We have, in fact, been talking about me playing myself in the African-American sense of the expression.
As it were.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah. I've come to this realization recently that I should step away from doing things with other men because I was commanded to do it by conscience. I felt a duty to do it, and because it wasn't making me happy, it wasn't giving me the things that I felt like it ought to. And my natural sense of noblesse oblige instantly kicked in almost before I started the process for myself, thinking, okay, well, this is good. Now, how can I help everybody else do this? Because that's just how my brain works, I guess. I'm a giver. So in addition to the clinic that I want to open in Florida, which is going to help other people go through this process, I'm also just going to be writing and speaking a lot more about it in future. My next book, for instance, I'm currently putting it together. It's called Make America Hate Again. And the idea behind the book is that we have lost our understanding of, it is right and proper to hate hateful things. Yeah, and hate's become this kind of all.
Just to be clear, it's never okay to hate people. Never.
No.
But it's always right to hate bad things, and that's proper.
Right. So, indeed. And so this book is kind of rehabilitating our natural instincts for hatred and righteous indignation, all the rest of it. And part that's very much come out of my journey where I began to hate the hateful things I was doing, you know. And so there's a chapter on gays and conversion in the book, and you one of the things I've learned over the past 5 years is we try debating the other side And we live in such completely different fact universes now, you know. The establishment lunacy and those of us who are trying to, you know, live normal and healthy and holy lives. We live in such different fact universes. So I think the time to debate is over. You know, I think it's done. I think now the appropriate response is shut up and goodbye and get on with the nice life. And really embracing the, you know, when someone says, oh, you're self-loathing. Yup. You're damn right. I hate the awful things I do, and I want to improve them. I want to get better. This idea of self-improvement, of that you might not actually be a perfect, beautiful, brilliant person, and the world is wrong, and the systems are wrong, and you know, body expectations are wrong, and the patriarchy is doing this, and white supremacy is doing this. No, actually, you're a fundamentally good person, but you're doing really dreadful things. We all are, and it would be a good idea and would make you happy, and, you know, guess what? When you die, I might have a nice upside for you if you identify what those things are and try to fix them. So this thing that's always lobbed at gay conservatives, self-loathing, I think the appropriate response, rather than trying to be clever about it, is just to say, yeah, I do hate the awful things I do. And I hate the awful things you do as well. And let me tell you about what some of them are. So, you know, so my next book is about that. And the next, you know, 10 years of my career, I'm going to come out of retirement, I suppose. I have to start talking a little bit more about rehabilitating hate in that specific way, in that technical way.
Well, look, this is biblical. It's that simple. You don't have to read Anthony Isselin to know these things. I mean, although I recommend his books. But the point is that ordering our affections means training ourselves to love the things that God loves and training ourselves, consequently, to hate the things that God hates. And anything that harms those God loves, God hates.
Right. And if you were to not know this, which most people sadly don't, you might get the impression from popular culture that hating anything at any time for any reason is wrong. Right. That's certainly the message you get from a culture that says, oh, they were promoting hate. You know, there are these organizations that have $300 million annual budgets or whatever it is. You know, SPLC and the ADL, these evil, dreadful organizations. Yeah. Dedicated to exposing and defeating hate.
Except for the hate of haters like Milo and Donald Trump.
Well, let me tell you, there's a small slice of the extremist directory on the SPLC website of people who I think probably are rather ghastly, and I don't mind if you spend a lot of time telling people about the awful things they believe. But possibly even the majority of people on that website are not. And, you know, all the Christians and everything they have on the SPLC. Anyway, point being, you would believe, if you were just to listen to network news, to celebrities and to organizations like this, that any kind of hate, any time, for any reason, is an intrinsically unacceptable thing. It isn't. And in fact, we all feel it. We can't help but feel it.
Well, there's an irony, though, because the people who often talk about wiping out hate, they don't really mean that. What they really mean is wipe out the people that we hate and whom we have given ourselves full permission to hate.
Yes. And the thing is, it's tough to take lessons from people who have such an ugly theology, if you like, that they can make no space for forgiveness. I don't mind if, you know, I have friends who are Orthodox, friends who are this, friends who are that, friends even who are atheists, shock horror. But the thing that they have in common, the people that I choose to surround myself with, is that they share some key, you know, noble characteristics. They tend to be compassionate. They tend to be forgiving. The kinds of people we're talking about, the people who have decided that none of the rest of us are allowed to hate anything anymore, are people who stand alone and unique in lacking any kind of mercy or forgiveness whatsoever. There can be no possible forgiveness for past slips or sins. You know, the cancel culture is all about demonstrating through fear and intimidation that there can be no forgiveness even for the slightest misstep.
Well, which is how we know cancel culture is antithetical to Christian faith and to grace, and is ultimately atheist cultural Marxism, because that do you find a framework where you can say we can have no grace here.
Right. So I refuse to take lectures from people like this, and therefore, you know, my next book is going to be an attempt to rehabilitate getting in touch with atavistic feelings we all have. You know, when you hate something, when you have a feeling of revulsion, it's like disgust. you may feel your hands and feet getting cold as the blood rushes to the center of your body. Well, there's a reason for that. Your body is preparing for war. Your body is getting ready for a fight, protecting its organs and sacrificing your extremities. Because when you see something that produces hate in you, you have an evolutionary response that prepares you to hit it or to hit something and get out of there. You know, that's what your body's doing. When you see something, it makes you go, you know, and that's what happens when you see Drag Queen Story Hour and you like lose your mind. Your body is physically preparing for a fight. You can't just deny that exists. You can't just pretend that that's not happening. So what I want to do in the book is explain to people that this is a normal, healthy, and indeed entirely necessary natural instinct that also serves a spiritual purpose, which is to help you distinguish between the things you should be around and the things that you should seek to destroy if you possibly can.
Okay, and let's be very clear, because people will say this. When you say trying to rehabilitate hate in your cheeky, provocative way, you by no means mean...
I'm talking about righteous indignation. I'm not talking about
beating up... No, I'm talking about
up.
The object. I'm talking that you're talking about not hating people because God loves them and died for them, but you're talking about hating the very things that harm those people.
Yes, and it is perfectly right and appropriate to hate the bad things that we do to ourselves, the bad things that we do to each other, and the bad things that are done by society, which increase the sum total of human misery and which imperil our immortal souls. That's what I'm talking about.
What I think is, the big takeaway here is that the reason you're able to do what you do, specifically this idea of opening up this clinic in Florida...
Yeah.
Is because you have courage. And that is what is lacking in the leadership class, certainly in corporate leadership, but also in political leadership. Apart from Trump and a handful of people, there is no willingness to go against whatever cultural norms were invented 5 minutes ago.
I don't perceive it that way in myself. I've always been aware that I had a responsibility because I had certain gifts to serve if I can.
You're also humble, which is good.
Well, yeah.
But I'm saying when you put it that way, nobody likes to be told, you're courageous. But I'm just telling you, how can you do this?
I like to pretend to be egotistical, but I'm not really. I play one on TV.
Right.
Always felt a duty. And this might just be being British. I don't know. I've always felt a duty. If you can, then you should, you know? And I'm one of those people that's lucky enough to have fairly strong willpower. When I was a smoker and a serious smoker, you know, a real smoker, I stopped in a day because I just decided this is not what I do anymore.
Right.
And I've had very much the same experience with this new journey. I mean, I've slipped once in the last year, but once in a year at the first attempt is like almost unheard of. I'm quite good at doing that within myself. And so if I can go through these journeys relatively quickly and successfully and assimilate a lot of information about them quickly, find out what it's all about, know all the major characters, and understand it fast, then maybe I can help other people do it too.
And I'm sure you can. We'll be back more with Milo Yiannopoulos. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC. Folks, I'm talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, you're saying a lot of interesting things here, which is very unlike you. What's going on?
Well, I'm just trying to raise a tone. You're having hissy fits about cream in your coffee and the breaks. You know, just trying to.
I need the caffeine, man.
Do you know what? I'm a viewer of the show, and I thought
to myself,
I need to inject a little intellectualism.
Class, you know,
because if there's one
thing, it's pronounced class.
Class. If there's one thing that Eric Metaxas needs, it's a little frisson of class and sophistication.
How about a soupçon?
A full frisson of class, sophistication, erudition. I thought you were lacking in as well, so I just thought I would show up today and try to just introduce a little bit of bookishness, a little bit of a literary bent. These are all things that you are known to lack.
Yeah.
So
I'm a populist hooligan.
that's exactly what I think.
Yeah, Yale cranks out populist hooligan. Underneath this carapace, double-breasted suit, I'm wearing a red union suit, and that's I chop wood in it, and that's good enough for me. Let's move on just a bit here. You said then that there is no such thing as someone who's inherently same-sex attracted.
No.
And so let me ask you, because I know that when you were a younger man, you had girlfriends. So we keep buying into this idea that everyone is this or this or this. I'm old enough to remember when Time Magazine was an actual magazine, and I remember they had Ellen DeGeneres on there saying, "Yep, I'm gay." And everywhere she went, Al Gore and Bill Clinton feted her and her girlfriend, Anne Heche, at the time. Mm. And this is presented like this is the new phase, the gay women. And, you know, 5 minutes later, Anne Heche decides, no, I'm a heterosexual. She gets married. She has kids. And you don't hear boo, because that doesn't fit the narrative. This happens over and over. I have had friends, men, who were in the gay lifestyle. They leave it aside. They get married. They have kids. I mean, those people don't exist in our culture. You don't see them. You don't hear about them. Of course, they do exist, but they're not allowed to be existing in the media.
It's a bit different with women. I mean, lesbian is not a thing. There are no lesbians. I mean, women have very malleable sexualities, and occasionally a woman will... There's probably like five people who are actual real lesbians, probably Tammy Bruce and Camille Parley, and they're the only ones. But every other woman is kind of wandering backwards and forwards between men and women in their life, and everybody who knows a lesbian knows that's true. The nature of female sexuality is completely different.
Okay, I didn't mean to go down that rabbit trail. I'm just making a larger point that narrative of someone switching and becoming
straight. Right, but I'm saying it's
straight,
important because it's
you never hear about it.
No, sure, but it's different, right? You would expect a woman to go backwards and forwards, and they all do. But male homosexuality seems to be a bit more sticky, right? When a man gets stuck into these habits, these behaviors, he tends not to come back out of it again, on the whole. So on those rare occasions, you're right, of course, you know, yes, the media covers all this stuff up, doesn't fit the narrative, we know all that. On the rare occasion that a man flips back or aims to get themselves out of a sinful and self-destructive way of life, that's something we really ought to celebrate and see. I'm not bothered that people talk about lesbians going backwards and forwards, because they do that their whole life. It's not news. It's not news when any of them do it. But it is news when a man does it. And we ought to make as much of an effort as we can to fight the enforced, you know, the omerta of the mainstream media when it comes to men who are seeking to find their way out of this lifestyle. Because when a man does it, it's a big deal, and it doesn't happen very often. I wish it did, and I hope to be part of making it happen more often.
Well, I guess my point is that I do know a number of men for whom it has happened, and they are not allowed to exist. In other words, you could never believe that that's the case. And yet I do know people like that, and it's possible, obviously. Are you familiar with the writings of Leanne Payne? That is somebody who you must and will look into along these lines.
She sounds like a dominatrix. So I think I would have avoided that if I'd seen it on the
show. P-A-Y-N-E, and I think she's recently deceased. She's a truly...
I'm late for Leanne Payne.
her books are fantastic. And on this subject, and many people have experienced healing, spiritual healing, through her ministry was in Chicago. Anyway, I'll find it out. But so I guess this brings up a question. Do you ever foresee yourself finding a wife and having a family?
It's asking a lot.
Well, sure.
I know people who were where I am now, who were here 20 years ago, and who now have children and a wife and are very happy, which is very inspirational to me. But for want of a better expression, they weren't quite such enthusiastic homosexuals to begin with, I think. So, I'm aspiring to and just about holding on to celibacy for now.
Yeah.
And that's as much as I am hoping for at the moment. As to whether you will see a beautiful Latina and lots of little Latinopolises, by my side at an awards ceremony in 20 years, who knows? But I certainly hope so. I'll be honest with you, right now, the prospect is not exciting to me. Well, physically or otherwise,
it needn't be. And look, I just want to be clear that it really makes no difference. You're open to what God's plan is for you, and as He heals you, as He heals all of us, we change and our affections change. We're going to go to a break. Final segment coming up with Milo Yiannopoulos.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. You live your life in the songs you hear on the rock and roll radio. And when a young girl doesn't have any friends.
Folks, final segment with Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, you said some really provocative things, and I just want to go back to this idea that sometimes it takes someone with a certain kind of personality to do something. The reason people aren't opening up clinics to help gays come out of the lifestyle is because the cultural pressure not to do that has just become horrifying. We're not living in a really free society, and these kinds of ideas aren't permitted. Another person who strikes me as similar to you in this is Donald Trump. Somebody who says, I don't care what people think, I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's that.
I've always been this way. I don't give myself any special credit for being remarkable.
You're
giving me plenty already, but I can't imagine caring what anybody thinks.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine being troubled, like being awake at night, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep because the New York Times doesn't like something I said.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Right.
I mean, and I know that it's the vast majority of the population. I get that. But I don't share that psychology.
I'm glad you don't.
I cannot personally wrap my head around why somebody would care that a nasty, vindictive, wretched person, miserable cat lady in New York, and her little editorial team of weasels, scoundrels, liars, and libelers find something I said offensive or believes it to be incorrect. I cannot fathom how anybody could bring themselves to be remotely bothered by that.
Yeah.
Why are you? Get over it. It's stupid.
Well, there's a little bit of a hangover because the New York Times was once not what you just said.
I'm not just talking about them. I'm saying anybody, you know, the Daily Beast, whatever.
Yeah.
I just wish, and I know that it's a constitutional thing, and I can't take credit because I didn't train. I'm trying to train my soul in virtue in a variety of ways, but I didn't train myself into this. I just never cared. And I know that that's unusual, but I just wish that people could try to, like, embody the spirit of, you know, whoever your favorite is, Trump, Milo, whatever, and just try to, like, live a little bit more like it doesn't matter what your enemies say about you, because it only does if you care. It only matters if you allow them to kneecap you, to gag you, to manacle you, to chain you to the floor when you should be flying. It doesn't matter what they think about you. They don't matter. They hate you. They're never going to like anything you say. I don't get why people are upset by the ramblings of their of people who wish they were dead. I don't get it, but I it's just how I was born. I don't know.
You're a sick person.
I'm obviously not well, but it
is interesting because I think courage begets courage, and if you live in a culture where everybody just says just go along with whatever you're being told, it becomes easier to do that. And so when someone says no, I'm not going to do that. Other people, like the people that are writing to you, say, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that it was permitted to say that or think that. And so you help them. But it's the same theory about, you know, when the gay community said that we need to all come out. Why? Because when you say something loudly, it does something. And all the wrong people have been doing it is my point.
I think America is structured in all kinds of different ways to reward conformity, mediocrity, predictability. I think that, that there are all kinds of ways, from culture to retail purchasing habits, you know, the loyalty points, down all the way to, you know, the spiritual choices you make. America is structured in every conceivable way to reward people who do the same thing, the same unremarkable things over and over and over and over again. That's what this country seems to want. So people who are courageous or dissident or obnoxious in any kind of way, good or bad, tend to get crushed quickly by a system that needs obedient citizens. And it's just, for all of the great, perhaps fatal systemic problems with Europe, the UK where I come from, it's at least not so there. You can still be an eccentric and still be and still, you know, be mainstream and be accepted there. But when I came here expecting this to be the land that would, you know, accommodate free thinkers, what a joke. What a joke. And it's so sad. It breaks
my
heart.
But I would say that the America to which you came is not really fully America.
No, but the mythology of America, which drew me here, clashing with the reality that I've been living for the last half decade, it's heartbreaking.
Well, but in a way, Milo, you are here to help us come back to America. In other words, that's the idea, is that anyone who is doing what you're doing, and I tried to do some of it myself, what we're trying to do is reorient people toward actual freedom.
Well, there's a long history of this, isn't it? Sort of Europeans of all people coming over to America and reminding Americans to be American, whether it's, you know, de Tocqueville or Hitchens or whatever. So if I can drop some ink into the water as well, then good stuff.
Ink into the water as well. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and before you know it, I'm going to have to take this phone call. So let me just say, we want to know when your book is going to be coming out. Are you writing it?
Yes. So it's nearly done. It'll be on presale in about a week. It's called Make America Hate Again.
And when were you going to tell us this? Well, so the book is nearly done. It's going to be on presale. This is so wonderful.
I know, but I'm so British. I hate self-promotion. That will make everybody watching this laugh heartily.
That's really funny.
But I actually hate it. I get attention just from, I don't know, just being myself. But the idea of, like, you know, like, I find self-promotion so gauche. I hate it. I go through hour-long interviews and just forget to mention I've got a book coming out.
So the buses with your picture on the side and stuff, that wasn't self-promotion? What was that? Well, was that wallflower stuff?
No, I mean, I didn't choose to have a bus. But since I was going to have one, I may as well have something provocative on the side. But no, I actually suck at self-promotion. And that will be that's a nice way for us to end, and a preposterous statement, but I swear it's true.
All right, well, then, because I believe in you and what you have to say, let me promote you. The book is called Make America Hate Again.
Yes.
And
meaning specifically and technically, of course.
And it's not spelled H-A-I-G-H-T. This is not about returning to flower power in Carnaby Street. This is about rock-ribbed American-style hatred for the things that are bad. And I think I could say in closing, I really, from the bottom of my heart, hate that shirt you're wearing.
I'm going to have to retire it, too.
Actually, I don't really hate it.
I know you don't.
I just want to say something along those lines. Milo, I'm going to embarrass you, and I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and I'm grateful for your forthrightness. Many people in my audience and beyond will also be grateful for it. So we're going to stay in touch with you. How can people reach you? You're on Gab at present. You're going to be on Frank. You're going to be on frankspeech.com.
Who even cares?
Yeah, who
even cares? If you don't know how to find me already, you're not the kind of connoisseur I want. You'll have to listen to me the next time I'm on Eric's show.
Same old Milo, the one we're trying to expunge and repair and convert. Thank you, my friend.
It's a process. It's a process.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, gang, enough about Milo. Are you ready for your homework assignment? Albin, Chris, you understand?
Yes.
This weekend, we've got a heavy homework assignment for all listeners. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You want to do better in this class, you got to do the homework. All right. So number one, how can you can't even do number one unless you do the other thing. So I'm going to make this number one.
Okay, newsletter. What is it?
Everywhere I go, I say to people, you signed up for the newsletter. No, what's the newsletter? Folks, please, I'm just telling you, we've had amazing guests and you're not going to find them on Rumble. You're probably not on Rumble. We need to send you the newsletter and it's all teed up. So there's Milo. There is
Alan Dershowitz.
There's Dershowitz. There's all the stuff that we cannot put on YouTube or we couldn't put it on YouTube. Trust me, go to ericmetaxas.com. This is a homework assignment. So you want to get a good grade, you just got to do this. What can I tell you? Homework counts. You go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. If you have trouble, just send us an email where it says contact and we will put you in. But it's the only way for us to share the show and the videos in a way that's going to make it easy for you. And I hate people missing stuff because we have some amazing guests. We got some amazing guests coming up. So go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for the newsletter. That's number one. Number two, please share our videos on social media or with your friends. We really do feel that that's the best way to get them out. So that's important. Number three, Nutramedics.com. Go to Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. Whatever you're already taking, you should be taking vitamin D every day, zinc, magnesium, and a few other things. You might as well get it from Nutramedics.com. Why? Because they give 50% of their profits to missions and wonderful charities. That's amazing. They want to give $100 million away by the end of the decade. It's an amazing organization. We'll tell you more about that. Also, don't forget to go to mystore.com. Most of my books are at mystore.com. If you use the code ERIC, the prices are actually, this is true, the Muggsy books,
yeah.
Anybody who gets them is always shocked because they're huge, they're beautiful, they're like coffee table children's books. They're almost sold out. We priced them so low, this is true, that they're almost sold out. If you use the code ERIC, you can still get them, but I promise you, they told me that we're almost out. So if you want them, go to mystore.com. And you know, we should also mention salemnow.com. We won't be mentioning it as often in the future, but right now for people to get acquainted with it, go to salemnow.com. America is on there. We talked to Nick Searcy. We haven't played that yet, have we?
No, we did on Wednesday. Wednesday we had Nick on.
All right, well then you know. But there's a lot of great stuff. You're looking for something that's educational, edifying, entertaining, salemnow.com. Use the code ERIC. I'm not sure what the discount is, but they said that there's a discount.
Right.
Two more homework assignments and then you're done. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to go to stream.org or com?
Org. Stream.org. Yep.
Stream.org.
Find John Zmirak's writings. Print them out. Share them. Okay. That's a homework assignment.
Great.
John writes one every day. So you're just going to have a tab or something like that. But his stuff is so true. The one he wrote last night about Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Folks, you don't know what you're missing. This is genius stuff. Cancel your newspapers and read this stuff.
Eric, you forgot about shopmetaxas.com.
No, I didn't. That was next.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for reminding me. It's your job, man. You're doing it. Shopmetaxas. I don't know if people even know it's there. So I thought we probably should mention it a little bit more. But Shopmetaxas, t-shirts, hats, mugs, tumblers.
Hey, don't forget.
And don't forget children's
hamster
books by Albin and Eric.
Hamster Homes.
And they're signed. So, but you have to go to
shopmetaxas.com.
Shopmetaxas.com. It's at our radio website, metaxastalk.com. But the prices on the t-shirts and the hats and the mugs are very low. So just in case you're looking for something fun, I think we're out of time. Those are the homework assignments. Please don't forget, it's going to be in your final grade. Thank you.